is the most important thing in our life. Amen? Three people agree. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to make sure that appointment with God every day is the most important thing. It's the secrets of the secret place. I'm really sensing there's a shift in the culture of our church. We have seen some amazing miracles. We saw a lady got healed of her teeth last week, an incredible miracle healing. Another lady had her feet healed. Some incredible healings last week. I believe it's because we've been raising the temperature in prayer. We're seeing answers to prayer and breakthroughs. I believe it's because people are praying more than ever. But on the same hand, we're also seeing increased attacks. You know, I wanted to play that video about the trials and the struggles that we're going through, because I just see it wherever I go. I see people going through all sorts of battles with their health, in their marriages, with their children, in their finances. I see a lot of, in their businesses. A lot of people are going through battles right now. But you know what? When we go through a trial, that's when we grow, amen? That's when God strengthens us, amen? Before I get into the verse there, I just thought I'd share something that I read this week, and I put it on Facebook and I thought it was quite funny. If you get really bored during the sermon today, here's a few bits of advice for what you could do just to, you know, you could raise your hand and ask for permission to go to the toilet. That has actually happened at this church, so please don't do that, okay? You could whip out your hanky, blow your nose, and vary the pressure exerted on your nostrils to trumpet out a rendition of your favourite hymn. Anybody want to try that today? I hope not, okay? You could try to indicate to the minister that his fly is undone. You know, that's happened. A friend of mine preached up here once, and it was just, you know, not zipped up. And I'm at the front going like this, you know. And he's thinking, what, is he playing the guitar? What's going on? Anyway, he noticed it. And he said, all right, let's bow our heads and pray. You know, and he goes, zipped it up. While people are locating the announced song, you could step out in the aisle and begin as though you're directing the hymn. You could do that. You could begin coughing louder and louder until you have to excuse yourself and leave the room. You could choose a different song that's being sung up there and just start singing it. Or I like this one. You could slap your neighbour, see if they turn the other cheek. And if not, raise the hand and tell the preacher. You like that? So they're what not to do in church, okay? I just wanted to say that. It's a bit silly. But I just want to say that, just, you know, a bit of a lighthearted moment. But you know what? When it comes to a sermon, I encourage you to take notes, listen, focus, get screenshots of the scriptures and the quotes on the screen, and study it. Because how many of you know we're disciples of Jesus? A disciple means you're a learner. We're constantly learning. We need to be a sponge to receive the Word of God. I've sat through sermons where I've just been off with the fairies, thinking about all sorts of things, and I've wasted that half hour, 40 minutes, you know. Don't waste this time. I believe God has spoken to me to give you this word today, and I want you to make sure you receive it. Amen? So let's pray. Father God, as we open your word today, we ask that you'd speak to us. Give us wisdom. Give us revelation. God, we want to find revelation in the secret place. We want to be men and women of your word. We want to be disciples who love you and love spending time with you. So Jesus, draw us near to yourself as we open your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I love the quote that Kevin Mudford said here a few weeks ago. A fly doesn't land on a hot stove. When we get on fire for God, the devil can't get us, amen? He'll come, but if we submit to God and resist the devil, he'll flee, amen? So I want to make sure that we're on fire for God, ready to receive the word of God. Let's look at James 1, 2-7. Famous Bible verse. James is like the book of Proverbs in the New Testament. It's the book of wisdom. James said, consider it pure joy. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, firstly, that just doesn't sound right, does it? Think about James, Peter, Paul, the followers of Jesus. They were locked up in prison. They were attacked. They were persecuted. People would throw rocks at them when they would preach. People would do all sorts of horrible things to them. But whenever they went through trials, this is what James said. Consider it pure joy. Now, do you think that's opposite to the world? What did the world do when there's a trial? Oh, woe is me. Oh, I can't handle it anymore. I'm going to give up. It's too much. Oh, things are terrible. Woe is me. That's the way the world operates when there's a trial. What do we do as believers? We pray. We praise God. You know why? Here's the answer. Consider it pure joy when you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Who wants perseverance? To finish the race well. Well, it's a good thing we go through trials, because we then get perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete. Who wants to be mature and complete? We need to grow every day, not lacking in anything. And James says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You know what? I pray every day for wisdom, and I need it. And I'm asking you to pray for me for wisdom every day. Pray for the leaders of this church. We've had to make so many big decisions in the last couple of years, so many tough situations, and we need the wisdom of God. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because no one who doubts, or because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. We need to make sure that when we go through trials, we keep focusing on Jesus. I actually believe that through the pandemic, the silver lining has been that though things have been tough, though we've had trials, it's made people get closer to Jesus. Anybody here reckon they're closer to Jesus because of the last couple of years? I believe it. I'm seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing family members. I'm seeing workmates. I'm seeing people that are so on fire for Jesus now because of all the bad stuff happening. I'm seeing unchurched, non-Christians coming to God because of all the trials they're going through because they're looking to Jesus. What the enemy has meant for evil, God is turning around for good. I look back at my life. The toughest times of my life has been when I've grown the most. And I feel to give you a bit of a warning today, like Glenn gave a bit of a warning before, there are testing times coming. There will be persecution against Christians more and more. There will be troubles, trials, tribulations. There's a whole bunch of bad stuff going to happen around the world. But don't look to the circumstances, look to the Savior, amen? It means Jesus is coming back soon, amen? Consider it pure joy. And we need to ask God for wisdom every day. Corrie ten Boom said this, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. I was chatting to Natalie the other day, as part of our worship team. She was out visiting the homeless shelters with me. And she said, Pastor Matt, that thing you said about having an appointment with God, that changed my life. She said, when you started challenging us in this series about secrets of the secret place, about not just praying when you feel like it, but having an appointment with God in the morning every day, she said, that changed us. She said, Marshall and I, we now get up in the mornings, we read our Bibles, we pray, and it's strengthening our marriage. It's strengthening us. It's helping us get set free from things. It's changing everything because we've got an appointment with God every day. Corrie ten Boom, the woman that wrote this, had been locked up in concentration camps. She'd been tortured in horrific circumstances. Anybody know the story of Corrie ten Boom? She wrote a book called The Hiding Place about how she protected the Jews from the Nazis. An incredible story. She shares a story that she was in a concentration camp and they had fleas all over them. And they were itchy and getting bitten by these horrible fleas, and it was freezing cold, and they thought, how could they survive this terrible flea infestation on their bodies? And they started praying, God, set us free from the fleas, and the fleas wouldn't flee. Later on, the Holy Spirit revealed to her that the prison guards also hated the fleas. And because the prison guards didn't want to go in because of the fleas, they didn't get beaten up in that season. Because you see, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. They didn't get beaten up because of the fleas. So thank God for the fleas, amen? Consider it pure joy when you go through trials with fleas, because through that, God will develop your perseverance, your character, your faith, amen? What are the fleas in your life right now? Some of you want to flee from your fleas, but don't flee from your fleas, because God's got a purpose for the fleas. He can use the fleas for God's glory, amen? Just this week, a couple of weeks ago, we had a Bible study at my house with Pastor Vince Esterman. He's starting a new Connect group, and I know he's going to start one up at Burpengary soon. Pastor Vince, great man of God. He's actually preaching here around Christmas. He's preaching the King's Table Christmas and preaching here on the Sunday before Christmas. Great man of God. We sat around the table with a bunch of believers and a few non-believers, and he asked the question, who is the person that's influenced you most in your faith? And it was a good question to ask. And we went around the table and I was like last, you know. I gave everyone else a chance, which is very rare for me, but you know, I gave them all a chance. I loved hearing all their stories. And you know who it was? Phil McCallum. He was the guy that planted this church 18 years ago. When I was 30 years old, I joined this church. I was a young evangelist, a preacher. I worked at a Christian radio station. I had a call in my life. And he saw something in me. And he said, I believe God's called you to take over this church 15 years ago, 30 years old. Had hair back then. It was a lot different. And he said this to me. He said, Matt, if you are going to preach in this church, you need to be in the Word every day. You need to read through the Bible every year. You need to be a man of the Word and a man of prayer. Otherwise, you'll never make it. And for 15 years, I've been in the Word every day. I've been praying every day. I've been in the secret place every day. Some days, not so good. But most days, I really get into it. That one bit of advice. And what was the other thing, Kylie, you said the other day? He said, just keep saying yes to Jesus. That was his other advice he used to say to me. Just keep saying, whatever Jesus says, just keep saying yes to Jesus every day. That simple bit of advice is probably the only reason I've lasted 15 years as a pastor. Because I find my identity in Jesus every day. Not in what everyone says about me, not on the problems, not on the things. Every day in the secret place, that's the only thing that matters. That we have our personal relationship with Jesus. I want to challenge you today. Are you in the secret place every day? Do you have an appointment with God every day? William Wilberforce put it like this. In the calmness of the morning, before the mind is heated and wearied by the turmoil of the day, you have a season of unusual importance for communing with God and with yourself. Peter Scazzaro, author of the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, he said this, our goal is the same, union with God in Christ, transformation into his image, and the freeing of our hearts from anything that stands in the way of Christ living in and through us. You see, if we start the day and we aim towards the target of following Jesus, we're much more likely to get to the target if we start the day right. But if you start the day just a little bit off or a little bit out, you'll miss the target, won't you? You see, it matters where you start. Early in the morning, I encourage you to seek the Lord, worship Him. Before you get on Facebook or Twitter or Pokemon Go, whatever you people do these days, before you get into, you know, watching the news and seeing the latest COVID thing or the latest, you know, I know some of you have kids and maybe you have to do it a bit later when the kids are at school, whatever. Have an appointment with God every day and be committed to it. They say it takes 28 days to form a habit. I want to challenge you over this next 28 days. Try and do it and don't miss a day. And you watch, in a month's time, it'll set you up for the rest of your life. Somebody say amen for that. I want to challenge you today. Be in the Word every day. Be in prayer every day. Peter Scazzaro also said, the activity of my life doing for Jesus began to eclipse the contemplative dimension on my life of my life being with Jesus. See, this is the thing that the Lord really spoke to me about with this series, and I've said it a few times, I'll say it again. Our public ministry for Jesus should flow out of our personal relationship with Jesus. Otherwise, it's dead works. You know who Jesus constantly smashed in the Gospels? It was the hypocrites, the Pharisees, the ones who were clean on the outside but dirty on the inside. They would pray on the street corners and say all these long prayers, and they'd quote the word, and they looked all good on the outside. But on the inside, they were full of greed, selfishness, lust, pride. They didn't even know the Messiah when he came. They crucified him. They missed their day of visitation. There's a verse where Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you've missed your day of visitation. Oh, I weep over you like a mother nestling her hens." That's what Jesus said. He just longed for them to come and repent and have a relationship with him. But all they cared about was their religious duties and their Old Testament, Old Covenant ways. They just cared about all that stuff, following the laws and looking good on the outside, but they were dirty on the inside. When you come to Jesus every day, he washes you in the water of the word. You get revelation every day. You report for duty, and then he leads you through the day. Don't let your activity of your life, your doing for Jesus, eclipse the contemplative dimension of your life of being with Jesus. If you transform your inner life, it will then transform your outer life. Reminds me of this boy named Josh, actually. Josh was 16 years old. He never brushed his hair, never brushed his teeth, never tucked his shirt in, never wore deodorant, had a bad attitude. Just a coincidence, he's got the same name as my son. It's nothing to do with my son. This is a story that I just picked out of the air, you know. This kid had a bad attitude, and his parents would say, "Brush your teeth, brush your hair. Put on some deodorant, change everything." And he'd go, "Nah, not interested, not interested." Bad attitude, grumpy all the time. You know. Anyway, one day Josh walked in. He had his hair slicked back. He'd done his eyebrows. You know. He had a spring in his step, smile on his face. He had a good attitude. He completely changed. You know what happened? Josh had seen a UFO, an unidentified female object. And when he saw this girl that he liked, something on the inside changed, and then it changed everything on the outside. I'm here to tell you, that's what we need. We need a fresh revelation of Jesus, and then everything will change. Not a girl, Josh, just in case you thought it was about you, don't you? Don't just change for a girl, change for Jesus, amen? But something on the inside will change, that then will change everything. You see, we think of it the wrong way around. We think, "Oh, I've got to change everything on the outside. That's how I can please God. I've got to stop doing this. I've got to start doing that. Oh, you know, works, 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 works. Oh, I've got to focus on." You know, it's not about doing things to make Jesus happy. It's about falling in love with him, getting a revelation, and then it'll just flow out of you. You want to repent from your sin. You want to evangelize. You want to pray. You want to be in the word. Remember when you first got born again and you just loved Jesus? We've got to come back to our first love, don't we? We've just got to come back to that first love and be born again, every day in the secret place. Get born again, every day in the secret place. I'm going to write a book on that. That's a good word right there. Peter Scazzaro said, "The essence of being in God's image is our ability, like God, to stop." We imitate God by stopping our work and resting. Now, this quote is talking about the Sabbath. You know, we believe that, you know, God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and every day we should have a rest day. My day's Monday. I try not to do any work, try not to answer calls, try not to look at emails, try not to do any work-related stuff. I just try to chill with my wife and enjoy the day and rest and refuel and refresh. That's what God did on the seventh day. We need to learn to stop and rest in his presence. Every day in the secret place, also have a Sabbath every week. It's a biblical principle. Next Bible verse we're going to look at is Proverbs 27, 23 to 24. It says, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure and a crown is not secure for all generations. This proverb refers to literal sheep. But as a spiritual shepherd entrusted to spiritual sheep, I want to make sure that I know the conditions of the flock, our church. And I did a bit of study on this verse here, and it explained that a good shepherd will know where the good fields are for the sheep so they can get fed well, so he'll get the best yield for his sheep. It's all about money when you're a shepherd, isn't it, you know? You want to send your shepherd, or you want to send your sheep to a good field where they get fattened, and then you can sell them for a lot more money when they're big fat sheep. They'll have good wool, you know, you look after them well. As I was reading about this, thinking about this week, you know, as I said before, this is the best thing I can do to lead you to the greener pastures. Every day, have an appointment with God, be in the Word, pray, seek His face, worship God in the greener pastures so that you grow. One of my biggest concerns as a pastor is that we see many people saying yes to Jesus, but then they don't grow. The devil will snatch the seed away, or the worries of the world will grow up, and the deceitfulness of wealth will grow up and strangle people, or the seed will fall on hard soil, like that parable says, the parable of the sower. But I want to make sure the seed goes on good soil. And what does that mean? 30, 60, 100-fold. Who wants 100-fold multiplication? That's what I'm believing for this church. That everyone, I look at James here, amazing. Stand up, James. Give James a big hand, everyone. What an amazing man of God. Used to be a pilot in Malaysia. Top high-flying guy. Used to train pilots, you know. Incredible man of God in a Muslim country. Comes to Australia. God says to him, radio. That's all he got, radio. He's like, what does that mean, Lord? Comes to New Hope. I say something about Vision Radio, and he goes, this is my church. This is where God's called me. He sits me down in my office. Brings out his resume. I said, this is what I've done. I'm like, oh my goodness, look at all these things. He's done Bible college, he's been an associate pastor, you know, all these things. And then he says, God's called me to be your armor bearer. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to stand in the gap for you. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, I need one of those. You know. And he's been so faithful. We employ him one day a week as a bus driver. I'd love to employ him full time, but we haven't grown that much yet, but one day. But right now, we just employ him one day a week as a bus driver. But he is multiplying himself 30, 60, 100-fold, let me tell you. Not only does he pick people up on the bus and bring them to church, he runs a Connect group at Kedron. And the whole group is on fire, growing. He's multiplying himself with that group. He's taken them out to Kilcoy and helped them with church planning out there. He's leading people to Jesus in the shelters. He doesn't just pick people up on the bus and says, come to church. He prays for people and leads them to Jesus in the middle of the shelter. He's seen people healed in the middle of those shelters. He's not just sitting around waiting until Jesus comes back, working as a bus driver one day a week. He's 100-fold multiplying himself. Let's all be like James, everyone. Let's multiply ourselves. Let's make sure that we're using everything we've got. And he's an Uber driver too, always ministering to people. He's got Vision Radio on in the car. He's always witnessing to people in Uber, you know. Every chance he gets, I can't keep up with him. He's a mighty man of God. When we receive that seed of salvation, we need to be multiplied 30, 60, 100-fold. And how does it grow? In the secret place. The only way that seed will grow and multiply is in the secret place. You can go and do it in the flesh and use your own gifting and your own talent. You might get a bit of fruit. Might look pretty good to some others. But it's not about what other people think. You've got to fulfill the assignment God's called you to do. And you've got to find the assignment in the secret place. You've got to say, God, what's my assignment? What's my mission? Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let him fill you up in the morning, and then through the day, he will lead you on. Let's look at this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 15. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Let me just pause there for a moment. How many of you know we've got to honour our leaders? Ever since I was a youth leader at the age of 16, I was a youth pastor for 10 years. I was in another church called the Vineyard Church before this church. I would always go to my pastor and say, what can I do? How can I serve? Here am I. I'm available. I always had a dream to do something like this one day, but I had to be faithful in the small things before God blessed me with the greater things. We've got to honour our leaders. Pastor Chris is going to be overseeing this church for 6 weeks while I'm away. I want you to honour him and Vicky. Stand up, look at him in his suit. Dressed like a Mormon today, looking very sharp. Elder Chris. Brother Chris. What a blessing he is to our church, amen?
Amen.
You know, we've got, you know, our eldership team, we've got the worship pastors, we've got lots of great leaders in this church. I want you to honour them. I want you to pray for them. I want you to ask them, how can I serve? How can I help? One of the best things about this church is the servant heart. You know, most churches you see about 20% of people doing 80% of the work. I think we're at about 50% of people, about right. Amen? About 50% do most of the work. But imagine if it was 100%. Imagine if everyone put their hand to the plough. Go to your leaders and say, how can I serve? How can I help? Then it says, live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do good for each other and everyone else. I quote that verse to my kids all the time. Don't pay back evil for evil. But love one another. Be at peace with each other. The Apostle Paul inferred that people's condition determines the way we minister to them. He suggests some possible conditions, what is needed as a result of that condition. So we might have that on the screen, I think. For those who are committed, the Apostle Paul says, give them respect, appreciation, and peaceful conditions. So we're going to honour our leaders with those things. For those who are idle, it says to give warnings. We all know the saying, the devil finds work for idle hands. I want to encourage you, if you are idle and you're not using your gifts for God, you're not working the way you're called to, whatever, my heart as a pastor is to comfort the afflicted, but also to afflict the comfortable. I don't want you to rest on your laurels and chill out and just hold on to your salvation until Jesus comes back. We're all called to work, amen? We're all called to play our part in the body of Christ. Don't be idle, I'm just warning you. Don't be idle, that's what Paul said. Just preaching, can I preach the word today, is that okay? This is what the great apostle Paul said to the church. Don't be idle. I warn you from being idle. Serve, do something. Bear fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold. For those who are timid, Paul says, bring encouragement to them. For those who are weak, we want to help you. We want to come alongside you and raise you up. Heard an amazing sermon. One of my favorite preachers is a guy named Jensen Franklin. Anybody heard of him before? He's from southern Georgia or some Georgia in America. Got a great southern drawl. Man, he preached a message the other day. Oh, I just can't get it out of my heart. I've got to share it, a little highlight with you. He said, there's three types of people. There's quitters, there's campers, and there's climbers. He says, imagine that we were going up a mountain today. And we're all like, yeah, let's go. We're all pumped. And we start going up the mountain. And it's hot, and it's windy, and you're getting sore legs. And you're like, oh. Some people, when they start ascending the mountain, they look at the top and they go, there's no way I'm ever going to get there. and they quit. A lot of people, particularly in the younger generations, not just singling out anyone, just younger, they're just quitters. People don't stick at their jobs anymore. People don't stick in their marriages, their relationships. People don't stick at churches anymore. People start serving, they don't, they quit. People are quitters everywhere. I see it everywhere. There's a spirit of apathy over this nation. Laziness. People just expecting a handout all the time and never giving back. We've got to make sure we don't live our life as quitters. Then you go to the next level and you've got the campers. They're the ones that made it halfway. They're doing good. And they go, oh, the sun's going down. Oh, let's set up camp here. Let's put on a fire, get a nice cuppa, sit back, relax. Wake up the next morning. Oh, what's the point of going up there? This is not. I've got a good spot here. I'm just going to camp right here. No point in going to the top anymore. A lot of Christians like that. We start well. We overcome the first hurdle and we don't quit. That's good. But then we just rest on our laurels. We just get comfortable. We camp. Can I just confess? When I heard this sermon the other day, I felt very convicted that I'm a camper. Some of you go, really, Pastor Matt? I see what you do on Facebook. You know, you don't look like a camper to me. But you don't know what God's told me. You don't know what my calling is. I've been in the secret place. God's told me what I need to do. And I'm in the camping category right now. I'm preaching to myself today. James keeps saying, it's good that you're going away for 6 weeks, because when you come back, boom, look out. I'm believing for that, brother. Amen. Can I just be real with you guys? I feel like I'm camping. I feel like we're doing great here. Doing great with the radio, doing great with our shelter. You know, we're doing okay. But I feel like we're just... And God's got a mountain for us to climb. So I'm preaching to myself today. I don't want to be a camper. When I finish my race, I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You made it to what you were called to do. The climbers are the ones that just keep going. They take risks. They're men and women of faith. They're men and women that no matter what gets thrown at them, they keep going. Psalm 24 says, who shall ascend my holy mountain? Who shall ascend my holy hill? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. How's your heart with God today? Are you willing to say, yes, God, I'm not going to camp anymore. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. The Bible says, come, let's go up to the mountain and seek his face. It's kind of ironic that the ones that get on their knees and humble themselves in the secret place, the lower they go, the higher they get up the mountain. It's a good word right there, Pastor Matt. Preach it. That's a good word. Sometimes you've got to encourage yourself if no one else will. Let me just say that again and I'll see if I can get the appropriate reaction this time. When you get on your knees and you humble yourself and you seek his face in the secret place, then the lower you go, the higher you'll get up the mountain. I'm not saying that because I want to hear a nice bit of applause. I'm saying it because I want you to get it. Get on your knees. Humble yourself. Build your relationship with God. Seek his face. Don't just do it like a microwave prayer and go, oh, thank you, Lord. Bless my family. Heal me. Give me provision. Bless all my family. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Even the youth grow tired and faint, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up on wings like eagles. Get on your knees, humble yourself, and you'll go higher up the mountain. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a camper. Be a climber. First thing you need to do if you want to be a climber is change your mind. Everyone say, change your mind. Change your thinking. And you'll change your life. Let's look at this quote from Craig Groeschel. He said, to win the battle of our minds, we must engage, because there's no other way for us to defeat evil. The days of being neutral must be over. Every one of you, anybody having a battlefield in their mind recently? All sorts of attacks from the enemy, worry, anxiety, fear. Oh, what's going to happen next? And how's things? This going to affect me? You know, I've been in that battle myself. Man, the number of conversations I've had about COVID and the mandates and the vaccines. Man, I've talked about this to the cows come home. I've heard every perspective from this extreme to that extreme. I've heard it all. And as a pastor, I just go, thank you for telling me your opinion. This is interesting. God bless you, you know, and just trying to keep my opinions to myself because I don't want to start an argument. I'm just, yeah, thank you. God bless you, you know. And, you know, I've watched every video clip. I've read every article. I've seen the news. I've listened to this politician. You know what? I've been way too focused on what the world says all about this. What's God saying? What's Jesus saying? He's got this. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows how this is going to end. This didn't surprise God. He's not worried about it. He's on the throne. My Bible tells me that I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That means I need to look at it from his perspective. If I look at it from the world's perspective, I look at all the circumstances, I'm like, oh, this is bad. You've got to change your thinking. Zig Ziglar used to say you've got to eliminate stinking thinking. Have a checkup from the neck up. Win the battle above your eyebrows. Looks like I've been losing it, but I mean, inside. Stop thinking the way the world does about all this stuff. Start having kingdom thinking. The Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible tells us we get washed in the water of the Word. When we pray, we cast all of our burdens onto Jesus. Another version says, cast all your anxieties onto Jesus because he cares for us. Do you really believe it? Do you believe Jesus cares for you? He has the best in store for you. No matter what happens, he is for you. He is for you. He is for you. Amen. We need to get our identity in Christ and realize we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. I read a book years ago by Chris Vallarton called The Supernatural Ways of Royalty. Was it Bill Johnson or Chris Vallarton? One of those boys from Bethel anyway. An amazing book. And it taught about how we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people chosen, set apart. Just imagine, you know, Prince Will and Princess Kate, or the Duchess, or whatever they're called. Imagine, they've got a very privileged lifestyle, don't they? Because, you know, their grandma's the Queen. Their dad's Prince Charles. You know, they've got a very privileged lifestyle. They've got everything provided for them because they're royals. They think like a royal. They act like a royal most of the time. They are treated like royals. When we are in the kingdom of God, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We need to start thinking like we're sons and daughters, like our God, our dad is the king, amen? Our dad is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Craig Groeschel also said, the lie will keep you living in shame from the past when God wants to set you free from a better future. The lie will keep you from living with joy and freedom and confine you to a less than existence. The thing is, the devil wants to tell you lies about yourself. You're no good. You're never going to make this. You've failed. You've messed up too much. You'll never make it to the top of that mountain. You might as well quit. You might as well camp. You'll never get there. Don't listen to old hairy legs, the devil. He's a liar. Listen to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Change your mind and it'll change your life. Craig Groeschel also said, one jailer had heard that Houdini was coming and the jailer was ready. When Houdini closed the cell door, the jailer put the key in the lock and secretly turned it in the wrong direction. Then he removed the key and everyone watched as Houdini struggled to escape by unknowingly locking himself in repeatedly. Finally, in frustration, Houdini admitted he couldn't escape. The jailer then revealed his deception. Houdini had believed a lie, and the lie had held him captive. Don't believe the lies the devil have told you. It'll just hold you captive. Who does God say you are? You're his child. You're adopted into his family. You are royalty, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are chosen by God. You're called. You've got a purpose. There's a destiny God has for you. Believe the truth about yourself, not the lie. Otherwise, you'll be locked up just like Houdini. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6 says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." I learnt this as a youth pastor in my teenage years, and I learnt to pray it in the King James Version, a bit more anointed than the others apparently. I used to pray that, and I used to get up and I'd say, "Lord, I pray, God, for the casting down of evil imaginations. I break the standard of anything that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. And I pray for every thought to be held captive and made obedient to you." When I learned to pray that, I learned to pray for the strongholds in my mind to be broken, for the thoughts of the enemy to be delivered from my life. We need to learn to pray and take authority over the enemy. The Apostle Paul said, you know, even though we walk in the flesh, Paul admitted that he walked according to the flesh. He said he's a flesh and blood human being, and he struggles with the same things the Corinthian Christians struggled with. However, Paul wants to make it clear that we do not war according to the flesh. We've got to make sure we don't fight the battle on the world's terms. We fight them in kingdom terms, amen? And how do we do that? We pray. It's like MC Hammer said, we've got to pray just to make it today. Oh yeah, we pray, amen? When we pray, we can take authority over the attack from the enemy in our minds. I love the passage in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. Pastor David Guzik said that instead of the belt buckle of truth, they fought with manipulation. We've got the next slide there. Instead of the breastplate of righteousness, they fought with the image of success. There it is. Instead of the shoes of the gospel, they fought with smooth words. Instead of the shield of faith, they fought with the perception of power. Instead of the helm of salvation, they fought with lording it over authority. Instead of the sword of the Spirit, they fought with human schemes and programs. You see, we need to realize that we're in a spiritual battle. And when we pray, we dress ourselves in the armor of God and we fight on kingdom terms. Don't fight the way the world does. The world is dog eat dog. I was talking about this with my brother Omer yesterday. He said, "Pastor Matt, if someone does something wrong, how do I forgive them?" I said, you need to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Jesus would turn the other cheek. The way of the kingdom is to humble yourself. The way of the world is to puff up your chest and go, "Oh, you did the wrong thing. Fight evil with evil." But what do we read before? It says, don't repay evil for evil. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. The kingdom way is the opposite to the world's way. Don't fight with the world's weapons. Fight with the kingdom weapons Jesus has given us. Philippians 2 verse 6 to 8 says, "Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross." Friends, this is the way Jesus did things. He humbled himself. He went after the last, the least, and the lost. He came down. I thought of it, I had it explained like this once. Imagine there's a chicken farmer with a whole bunch of chickens, and there's a tornado coming. And he gets down under his farm, and he gets ready to close the hatch, and he sees all the chickens outside. And there's a tornado coming. They're probably going to get killed. He says, "Come on, chick, 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 come on, chick, 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 come on, move." And they're like, we're not going in there. He's like, come on, tick, 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 and they're not coming. How can the farmer communicate with the chickens? Imagine if the farmer could become a chicken and talk chicken to the chickens and say to the chickens, in their language, there's a tornado coming, get in the hatch. It's a pretty silly example of the gospel, but it is actually what the gospel is about. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God sent his Son Jesus in the form of a human. 100% man, 100% God at the same time. He came down and he showed us how to live. And he warned us. Hell is our destiny unless we get saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will see the Father but through me. It's only through Jesus that we can be saved. Jesus came down and humbled himself. If we are to be true followers of Jesus, we've got to humble ourselves in the ways of the kingdom. Two more quick points and then we'll wrap up. Number two, everyone say, change your words. One of my concerns as a pastor, as I look around this flock, is I see a lot of people using the wrong words. I see a lot of gutter talk, a lot of gossip, a lot of slander, a lot of running people down. James 1:26 says this, who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world. I want to challenge you. Keep a tight rein on your tongue. I see a lot of people talking about this problem and that problem and spreading the problem. And, you know, when a gossip perpetuates a problem, it keeps spreading like wildfire. But when a godly person hears gossip, it stops right then and there. When someone comes to you and starts trying to spread gossip, you go, hang on, no, I don't want to hear that, thanks. It's going to stop right there. I'm not going to pass it on to anyone. It's going to stop right here. We've got to be wise when it comes to our tongues. Matthew 18 says, if your brother and sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you, if they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they won't listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. That they refuse to even listen to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. There's someone that you've got a problem with in this church. Go to them, love them, forgive them, deal with them. Don't go spreading it around to others. Go to the person. If they don't receive it, go to a leader or someone you respect, another person, and then go with someone else. Then if it doesn't work, then come to the church leadership. We'll try and follow it up. And if you believe this is a good biblical principle, if we all did this, this church would be a lot healthier. It'd be a lot easier for Pastor Chris over the next 6 weeks. Let's make sure we have godly, biblical relationships when it comes to problems between each other. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Imagine how our lives would be different if we actually did that every day. They say when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who guards his tongue is wise. I see a lot of people that they just talk, they talk, their kids keep talking and they get themselves into trouble. Sometimes you've got to zip it. You've got to button your lip. I'm preaching to myself here too today. Psalm 141 verse 3 says, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. I've been praying that prayer regularly in my secret place recently. Say, Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And we're going to realize the power of our words. A lady went to a pastor and said, Pastor, I won't be going to your church anymore. The pastor responded, why? The lady said, oh, I saw a woman gossiping about another member, a man that's a hypocrite, the worship team living wrong, people looking at their phone during the service. I saw so many things wrong in your church. The pastor replied, okay, but before you go, do me a favor, take a glass of water, walk around the church 3 times without spilling a drop on the ground. Afterwards, leave the church if you so desire. The lady thought, too easy. She walked around the church 3 times. The pastor asked when she'd finished. She told the pastor she walked 3 times around the church as the pastor had asked. When she finished, she told the pastor she was ready to leave. The pastor said, before you leave, I want to ask you this. Was anyone gossiping? The lady replied, no. Did you see any hypocrites? The lady said, no. Was anyone looking at their phone? No. You know why? No, she said. Because you were focused on the glass to make sure you didn't stumble and spill any water. It's the same with our life. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we don't have time to see the mistakes of others. We'll reach out a helping hand to them and concentrate on our own walk with the Lord. At any church, there are going to be things to complain about. A church is filled with people, and people aren't perfect. Only Jesus can set the perfect example. So let's focus on Him. Amen? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Third and final point today, if we want to grow in the secret place, if we want to draw near to God, firstly, we've got to change our thinking. Secondly, we've got to change our words. And thirdly, we've got to confess our sins. Everyone say, confess your sins. Peter Cesaro said this, our fear of bringing secrets and sin into the light, however, drives many people to prefer the illusion that if they don't think about it, it somehow goes away. It doesn't. Unhealed wounds open us up to habitual sin against God and others. There is no greater disaster in the spiritual life than to be immersed in unreality. In fact, the true spiritual life is not an escape from reality, but an absolute commitment to it. You know, I love every Sunday. After church, I get home. I take the bin out, put it out the front, and I'm like, yes. All that rubbish that's been filling up my bins all week is going to be gone on Monday morning. And early in the morning on a Monday, when I'm in the secret, I get up at 4:30 every day, I'm praying, I'm worshiping, I'm seeking the Lord, and then I hear that glorious sound of the Monday morning garbage truck. Well, up and down the street. And I see it come to my house, and I see my bin go, and I'm like, yes, it's all gone. Woo! Feel like I'm, you know, blokes like to achieve stuff, don't we, you know? Does anybody else get that excited about? I love it. It's awesome. I feel like a load's been lifted off me. Everything's clean again. Same when we confess our sins. Anybody here got some rubbish in their life? The Bible says confess your sins one to another so that you might be healed. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. At a youth camp, when I was 15, I gave my heart to Jesus. And then the next night, the preacher said, I want you to write out a list of your sins on a piece of paper. So I had this long, long list. I was there for hours. And he said, I want you to scrunch it up and throw it in the fire as a prophetic act that Jesus has washed your sins away. Every day in the secret place, I confess whatever sin comes to mind. The time I said this to that person, or the time I thought that, or the time I was tempted with this that I feel like I went to, whatever it is, any weakness, I'm confessing it to God because I don't want to give the devil a foothold in my life, amen? I encourage you every day, whether you write a list or whether you confess a list, whatever, confess your sins to God in the secret place every day. I do my time in worship and prayer Then I go for a run every day to the local gym. And there's a bunch of guys there early in the morning. I call them the committee. They're experts on everything. They talk about all the things happening in the world. And they're lovely old fellas. And they all know I'm a pastor. And they dig me a bit. And I've invited them. Told them about the radio. I think they listen to Vision Radio now, which is good, you know. Anyway, I have good chats with these guys. And anyway, I finished my workout the other day. And this guy just said to me, "Is your conscience clear now? You can go." And I thought, is my conscience clear? So there's a good point in my sermon for that. I like that. I'm going to use that. Because the day before I'd been eating some donuts that someone gave me at Vision Radio. I'm trying to get into shape, as you know. And I'd done my workout, you know, so these guns, you know, I've been working out, you know, just quietly, you know. I'd done my workout to kind of burn off those donuts. And I did feel like my conscience was a bit clear for those donuts that I've been eating. Because gluttony's a sin, amen? You don't hear that preached much in Australia in 2021, do you? Seriously, look at all the TV shows, MasterChef and My Kitchen Rules. It's all about gluttony. The latest foodies, the latest this and that, you know. My wife's not here, is she? No, few. See, all the latest cooking, you know. And I love good food, and there's nothing wrong with good food, but don't worship it. When you fast, you're telling your body, my spirit's in charge, not my flesh. We've got to learn to die to our flesh. Don't worship food. Don't get cranky and uneasy if you haven't eaten. Die to your flesh. Remember, Pete and I went out with some leaders once at the Gold Coast for a leaders retreat. And we were waiting for, and the food was ages. Like we had kids with us. They're all like going crazy. And Pete said this great line. He said, "Another opportunity to die to the flesh. We're waiting for our food to come." No one really liked him saying that. But never a true word's been said. How much do we lust after the food in our lives? We've got to die to our flesh. When we confess our sins, our conscience is clear. Every day in the secret place, confess your sins to God. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. Four things will get us one day, they say. Baldness, bifocals, bunions and the bulge. Every one of us, as we get older, all these things will come against us. But one day we'll have a new heavenly body, amen. One day we'll have a mansion in heaven. A boy and his father were travelling in a car when a bee flew through the open window. The boy was so highly allergic to bee stings that both he and his father knew that his life was in danger. As the boy frantically jumped around and tried to avoid the agitated bee, the father calmly reached out and grabbed the bee. When he opened his hand, the bee began to fly again, terrorizing the boy once more. The father then said, "Look, son," holding up his hand with an implanted stinger. "His stinger is gone. He can't hurt you anymore." As a bee loses its stinger when it stings, so death has lost its sting when it stung Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." How many of you know Jesus took the sting of death on the cross? He paid the price so there'd be a bridge between God and man. Have you walked across that bridge? Have you given your life to Jesus? I'm just going to invite the worship team to come. That was quick. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he's actually... No, there's no one there. My goodness. Three things I want you to remember, everyone, as we want to press into the secret place. Change your thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your words. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only speak words that are for lifting others up. And thirdly, confess your sins every day. Now, in a moment, I'm going to open the altar. I'm going to invite you to come for prayer. But I want to challenge you to have your own altar call every day. Every morning, start your day with Jesus. Confess your sins. Surrender yourself to Him. As you read the Word, let it be like a mirror. Ask God to speak to you through the Word. Say, how can I be different from what I've read today? Feed yourself on God's Word every day. Most important question I've got to ask today is, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? 2,000 years ago, when He died on that old rugged cross, He had nails through His hands and through His feet. And He took the sting of death away so that we wouldn't have to have the sting of death. And when we die, we'll automatically be in the presence of Jesus. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? When I was 15, I prayed a prayer and I asked Him to come into my life. And I felt a weight of sin be lifted off me. The best decision I've ever made. I've never met a man who's come to Christ who's ever regretted it. The Bible says, all those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. In just a moment, we're going to pray a prayer where you can ask Jesus to come into your life and have your sins forgiven. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word, that You speak to us through Your Word every day. I thank You for every single person here today. I pray, Holy Spirit, You'll move on every heart, on every person that's here. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here that needs to get their life right with You, that You'll just speak to them right now. With every eye closed, every head bowed, no one looking around. If today you want to surrender your life to Jesus and pray that prayer with me, I just want you to slip up your hand real high. Is there anyone today that says, yes, today's the day for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to turn from my old life and start a new life. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Just feel there might be someone here today. Is that you? You want to surrender your life to Jesus? Just put your hand up real high so I can see it. Is there anyone today? I see that, brother. That's awesome. Anybody else? Says, yes, I want to come to Jesus. I want to have my sins forgiven. I see that too. That's great. Anybody else? It's between you and God. I see that at the back too. That's awesome. That's three. Anybody else? You want to come to Jesus today? Just slip your hand up real high. We've got three people so far. Is there anybody else? Four over there. Good on you, brother. Just feel to just wait a few more moments because I feel like there might be a few more people. I see that too. That's awesome. That's five. Anybody else? You want to come to Jesus today? Just slip your hand up real high. Six over there. That's awesome. Anybody else? Do you want to come to Jesus today? It's a step of faith, asking Him to come into your life. It's a simple prayer. We're about to pray it in just a moment. Everyone put your hands down. If there's anybody else, if you haven't put your hand up yet and you know today is the day for you to give your heart to Jesus, if that's you, I want you to slip your hand up real high. Anybody else? Slip up your hand real high. Okay, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to You. Please fill me with Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's give these guys a hand. Stand to our feet, everyone.